The subject of this afternoon's interval is composer and pianist John Lewis. Today's edition comes from the Interval Archives.
You're listening to Fresh Air. I'm Francis Davis, and the subject of today's interval is pianist-composer John Lewis. In 1947, John Lewis was the pianist in Dizzy Gillespie's big band. His cohorts in the rhythm section were vibist Milt Jackson, bassist Percy Heath, and drummer Kenny Clarke. 6 years later, those musicians were reunited in the Milt Jackson Quartet, the MJQ, which was rechristened the Modern Jazz Quartet, as John Lewis took a more prominent role in the group, both as its pianist and as its musical director. The son of upper-middle-class parents, Lewis brought to the MJQ both solid academic credentials and years of practical jazz experience. Lewis holds degrees in anthropology from the University of New Mexico and in music from the Manhattan School of Music. He had been pianist not only in Dizzy Gillespie's big band, but in small groups led by Lester Young and by Charlie Parker, and in the short-lived 1949 Miles Davis Nonet of Birth of the Cool fame. Lewis's dominance of the MJQ and the great impact of that band on jazz combined to make him a pivotal figure in the evolution of the music, but also a problematical figure, one for whom I have both the greatest respect and the deepest ambivalence. John Lewis's work with the MJQ is generally admired for its formal excellence. Lewis is credited with systemizing the innovations of bop by placing them in a context at once larger and more intimate. But it could be argued with equal justice, I think, that all he really did was to give modern jazz a veneer of respectability by blunting the hard edge of its anger. Lewis's classical borrowings were hardly forward-looking. At a time when both classical and jazz composers were investigating dissonance and atonality, Lewis's fascination was with procedures of Baroque music, Renaissance music, and music of the Romantic period. But if Lewis was overestimated as a composer, arranger, and musical thinker, a re-examination of his work away from the MJQ reveals him to be a vastly underrated soloist, and we'll listen to some of that work today. We'll start with a piece composed by John Lewis called 2 Degrees East and 3 Degrees West. The title is in reference to the geography of the musicians involved, Lewis and bassist Percy Heath from New York, and tenor saxophonist Bill Perkins, guitarist Jim Hall, and drummer Chico Hamilton, all at that time, 1956, based in Los Angeles. Historically, the results of such impromptu sessions are alternately frenetic or somnambulant, but Lewis gives this group a strong central consciousness, not just as a composer, but as a pianist. Like Count Basie, Lewis is a self-effacing soloist, but also like Basie, his solos are witty and diamond-hard, and the figures he plays behind the other soloists here provide each player a firm sense of direction at the same time they allow him the greatest latitude. Lewis's comping constitutes a kind of solo in itself. This is 3 degrees East, 3 degrees West. Thank you. 2 degrees east, 3 degrees west, The Blues by John Lewis. The next piece we'll hear is also a blues called Harlequin, composed by John Lewis as part of a larger work for the MJQ called The Comedy, based on the songs and dances of the 16th century Italian Commedia dell'arte. The Harlequin was the masked joker in such pageants, and appropriately the piece is a scherzo, accumulating much of its humor through its pauses, its suspensions, its stops and starts. The references to Renaissance music in John Lewis's work are not cosmetic, not grafted on. They signify his lust for simplicity of form. At heart, Lewis is a conservative, and the same impulse that draws him to Renaissance music or to the Baroque draws him inevitably to the blues, another music allowing for endless variation, only within the logic of rather rigid boundaries. It's one of the happiest ironies of jazz that John Lewis, the most bourgeois of musicians, should also be so gifted a blues player. Lewis's style is reductive, like Basie's or like Monk's, and for all his comely phrases, for all his discreet good humor, for all his compression and his restraint, he swings as hard as any pianist in jazz. If you turn the fire down low enough, you get an explosion, and I think that's what happens here on Harlequin. We'll hear not the MJQ's version, but an earlier, I think more successful draft, featuring John Lewis accompanied only by drummer Connie Kay. Thank you. Harlequin, a duet between pianist John Lewis and drummer Connie Kay, or not quite a duet, because Lewis manacles his drummers. A frequent criticism of the late pianist Lenny Tristano that should have been a more frequent criticism of John Lewis. Connie Kay's cymbal effects lend Harlequin the perfect mixture of shadow and light, but over the length of an entire performance, effects at the expense of propulsion can become monotonous. And it's no wonder that Connie Kay's predecessor in the MJQ, the great Kenny Clarke, felt constrained by Lewis's dictums. The next piece we'll hear is Rodgers and Hart's standard Little Girl Blue, and it illustrates another of John Lewis's more questionable strategies, his tendency to reduce a romantic ballad to an exercise in counterpoint or a fugue, a practice I find worse than pretentious. It's precious. What saves this performance, and others like it, is John Lewis's innate lyricism, that singing quality, the shapely curve of his touch, his modesty and his charm as a pianist. After Little Girl Blue, we'll hear Lewis's own porcelain ballad, Love Me, a very successful performance which itself sounds like a popular song. Lewis worries each phrase lovingly, adding or subtracting a note each time he repeats a phrase, and near the beginning he engages both parts of a call and response pattern, drawing again on the blues, his real strength, as he does throughout the performance. John Lewis, Little Girl Blue, and Love Me, with Percy Heath on bass and Connie Kay drums. Thank you. two from John Lewis, Little Girl Blue and Love Me. I should temper the criticisms I've made of John Lewis today by saying that I think Love Me is very nearly a masterpiece, and so is Harlequin. I know my comments about John Lewis indicate a great deal of ambivalence, but you can measure my respect for him and the amount of pleasure I've derived from his music from the following statement. If a John Lewis solo recital were announced, I would be in line to buy a ticket as soon as they went on sale. And since the 1974 demise of the Modern Jazz Quartet, Lewis has been relatively inactive, so such a recital, or a series of recitals, is long overdue. I'd like to hear any thoughts you have pertaining to John Lewis, or to the program, or to jazz in general. You can send your comments to me, to WUHY-FM. I'm Francis Davis, and this is Interval, a regular feature of Fresh Air.